6 months to get through. Luckily, this series is going to be a little bit shorter. It's actually going to bring us right up until Christmas. Thank you so much. And so for the next 3 months, we're going to be going through what is, in my opinion, one of the most exciting, interesting, confusing, and action-packed books of the Bible. For the next few months, we're going to be studying the book of Numbers. And some of you, I know that when you hear that we're going through the book of Numbers, you might feel a little disappointed because Numbers isn't the first place you go to when you want to have a great quiet time. It's not a place you go to where you want to find some inspiring quote about God or about life. And honestly, it's not a place that we spend a lot of time reading and doing Bible study. And let's be honest, you couldn't have chosen a title more boring than Numbers. Like, Numbers makes you fall asleep. Like, is this an accounting textbook? Like, what is this doing in the Bible? Why is it called Numbers? And that's really sad, in my opinion, because the book of Numbers is far from boring. It's far from boring. The Hebrew name is a lot better. The Hebrew name is Bamidbar, which translates into English. I'm practicing my Hebrew. Bamidbar, which translates into English as in the wilderness. In the wilderness. And that's what this book is about. It's about Israel's journey in the wilderness. For 40 years. And there's stories in this book about Israel being attacked by wild animals, Israel being torn apart by civil war and rebellion, Israel being cursed by a pagan sorcerer, Israel being tempted to worship other gods. Because this book isn't boring. This is Israel's action-packed travelogue in the wilderness. You see, in this series, we're going to see Israel desperately try to fight their way out of the desert. We're going to see Israel's people angry and frustrated with their leaders. We're going to see Israel's leaders pridefully put themselves in the place of God. And at times, we're going to see God so frustrated and so angry with Israel that he just wants to leave them and abandon them. And yet, even though the people are complaining and rebelling against God, he decides to be patient and kind and gracious with them. And so we're going to be going through Bamidbar in the wilderness, the book of Numbers. And some of you might be thinking, okay, these are going to be some cool stories, some nice stories about Israel in the Old Testament. Well, what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with me and my life today? And that's a fair question. And here's how I'd like to respond. All of us go through seasons of wilderness. All of us go through seasons of wilderness. For Israel, the season of wilderness was a season of pain and suffering, a season of doubting whether God was really there, whether he really knew what he was doing, a season of hopelessness and fear. And all of us have seasons of wilderness, just like Israel. Some of us here struggle with seasons of depression, anxiety, and fear. Some of us deal with the wilderness of physical sickness and physical turmoil. Some of us are forced into the stress of financial security or even the difficulty of a broken relationship or the loss of a loved one. And even our church, for the past few years, we have dealt with a lot of discouragement and a lot of confusion for the past few years. And when you're in the wilderness, everything feels hopeless and confusing. And you might wonder, like, why is God doing this? Why isn't God healing me? Why hasn't God saved us from the situation? Why is God letting this happen? And you'll spend so much time trying to get out of the wilderness that you won't realize that God is here with you in the wilderness and has a plan for you in the wilderness. You see, the same God that led Israel into the wilderness is the God that leads us today. And God doesn't lead people into the wilderness for no reason. And so today, we're not going to be looking at Numbers. We're actually going to be looking at Deuteronomy. Because for 40 years, Deuteronomy is a book by Moses. And for 40 years, Moses led Israel through the wilderness. And after these 40 years, he's had a lot of time to think and pray and to talk with God about their time in the wilderness. And after 40 years of wandering in the desert, he thinks he knows why God has led them into the season of wilderness. And so if you have your Bibles, please open to Deuteronomy 8. And if you don't, then it'll be on the slide behind me. Deuteronomy 8, 2-3, it says this. You shall remember the whole way that Yahweh, the Lord your God, has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh the Lord. And so this passage is full of wisdom and insight. And I'm not going to be able to do it all justice, but we'll be able to look at a few points. But first, just look at what Moses says to Israel. Hey, remember these past 40 years. When you get into the promised land, remember all the ways that Yahweh your God has led you these past 40 years. You see, in Moses' mind, something incredible, something important, something miraculous happened in the wilderness. And if Israel just sort of forgets what happens, then they're going to miss out on the gift that God gave them in the wilderness. And so the question is this: what gift has God given Israel in the wilderness? What gift did God give them? And what does Moses want them to remember? And we're going to see actually three things, three gifts that God gave Israel in the wilderness. And so we're going to begin first: the wilderness reveals your heart. The wilderness reveals your heart. So this is Deuteronomy 8. Again, let's read it. So it says, "You shall remember the whole way that Yahweh your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? That he might humble you, testing to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And so what does the wilderness do? The wilderness reveals your heart. You see, when Israel was in the wilderness, their true selves were revealed. Right? Like, it was awesome and exciting to be rescued from Egypt and brought out of the Red Sea. But after just a few days, maybe weeks of being in the wilderness, they curse Moses, begin to complain, and long to be back in Egypt where they felt safe and comfortable. You see, the wilderness reveals your heart. After showing himself to Israel on Mount Sinai, God calls Moses up to the mountain to give him the law. And again, after just a few days in the wilderness, what are they doing? They're worshiping a golden calf rather than their true rescuer, because the wilderness reveals your heart. And if anyone here has experienced the season of wilderness, then you know that this is true. When work gets stressful, it's easy to blame other people for your problems rather than yourself, right? When school is hard, it becomes more and more tempting to cheat to get a good grade, right? When you're in a tough financial situation, it feels reasonable and right to be selfish and self-centered, because you see, the wilderness reveals your heart. And this process of being revealed, this process of having your heart uncovered, it's a painful process. And many times what God wants to open and reveal our hearts is selfishness and sinful. And we don't like that part of ourselves to be revealed, right? And so instead of taking the time to really sit and pray with God in the wilderness and ask him, like, God, what are you showing about me? Like, what are you showing about my heart? And what are you showing me about myself? Instead of doing that, we'll actually just spend most of our time trying to get out of the wilderness, right? And so we'll spend our time problem solving and planning and trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to get out of this rough situation? But that's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to strategize and just problem solve in the wilderness. No, God also wants to show us what's going on in our hearts. He wants to show us the things that we truly love, truly hope in, that we truly desire. And the way that God does this is by the next gift that God gives Israel in the wilderness. Point number two. Can we go next slide? Thanks. The wilderness strips away your comforts. The wilderness strips away your comforts. So let's go again. Next slide. This is verse 3. "And he humbled you and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know." You see, Moses is reflecting on Israel's time in the wilderness. And what did God do to Israel in the wilderness? God let them hunger. He let them be humbled. He didn't let them settle down. He didn't let them grow livestock. He didn't let them farm. No, he just fed them with bread that came from the sky. He didn't let them plan for the future. He didn't let them gather more bread than what they needed. No, in the wilderness, God stripped away all of their comfort, all of their securities, all of their things that they prop up to make themselves feel safe. And if you've ever been in a wilderness season, you know what this feels like. You know what it feels like for all the things that you rely on and the things that you've depended on to be stripped away from you. If you've depended on your financial stability, then a season of unemployment will be a season of wilderness. If you've depended on a boyfriend or a girlfriend, then breaking up will be a season of loneliness and wilderness. And if you've depended on, you know, like a senior pastor, if we've depended on a senior pastor, then going for 4 years without them, it's going to be a season of wilderness. You see, the stripping away of comforts, this stripping away of all these things that we depend on, it reveals your heart because it shows you like what you really depend on and what you really, really need. And some of us, we didn't even realize that we depended on these things, right? So when I talk to people who have some kind of chronic illness or disease that's taking a long time to heal, or maybe even some people who are older in their years, they tell me that they didn't realize how much they depended on their physical well-being. Like they didn't realize how nice it was to not worry about pain in your body, to not have to worry about what weeks you're going to be weaker and what weeks you're going to be stronger. Like to not have to worry about what you're going to have to eat or when you're going to have to go to sleep. Because only when your comforts and the things you depend on get stripped away do you realize, oh my gosh, I really depended on these things. And these comforts, these things that God takes away from us in the wilderness, the rest of the Bible in Deuteronomy calls them idols, right? Idol things that we depend on instead of depending on God. And in response, our first reaction is going to be to try to get all of our comforts back, right? Like if we lose our job, then our response is, well, let me get another job so I can be secure and stable, right? If someone breaks up with us, we're going to want to try to get into a new relationship. You see, when our comforts get stripped away, our first reaction is going to be to look somewhere to fill that hole again. But that's not what God wants us to do in the wilderness. He doesn't want us to just go back to our idols. No, this takes us to point number three. Oh, yeah. The wilderness makes you depend on God. The wilderness makes you depend on God. So let's go. Next slide. It says this. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why? Why did God let Israel hunger? Why did God let Israel go through wilderness? Why is God letting us go through a season of wilderness? Well, it's this, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh the Lord. So what is the purpose of the wilderness? What is the purpose of seasons of pain and suffering and confusion? Why does God lead Israel and why does God lead us into seasons of wilderness? Why does he strip away all of our comforts and let our hearts be revealed? Why does he do this? Well, to draw us closer to him, to make us depend on every word that comes from his mouth. I want us to imagine what it must have been like for an Israelite, right? To receive just bread and meat that come from the sky, right? For 40 years to not be able to plan for your future, to not be able to know for certain that I'm going to have something and my family's going to have something to eat tomorrow, right? To receive protection from your enemies, not because you're strong, but because God provides. And even though every comfort was stripped away, and even though their deepest and darkest hearts were revealed, God still provided for them. God still loved them. God still sustained them. And imagine that was your life for 40 years. For 40 years, you're hungry and just waiting for God to provide for you. For 40 years, you're wandering aimlessly through the desert. Eventually, what do you learn? What do you learn? Is it up to me to provide for myself? Is it up to me to protect myself? No, according to the passage, it's this. Hey, you know what? We can trust God. We can trust God. You know what? Farms, they might not grow produce. Armies, they might lose wars. Riches might come and go. Family and friends might leave me, but the word of Yahweh the Lord stands forever. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And it's the same thing. The same thing with us. When I talk to people who just seem to live in long seasons of wilderness, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, what I hear is a deep, deep trust that God will provide, that God is with them, that God loves them and will be good to them even in the wilderness. That even though life seems chaotic around them, they can have peace because God is near. And here's the thing. We may only be able to learn this deep love and deep trust in God when we're in the wilderness. Because as long as we have the comforts that hold up our normal life, we're going to continue to trust in those comforts rather than trusting in God. We might not even realize that we're trusting in these things because we're just so used to trusting in our idols rather than trusting in God. And so in order for God to draw us closer to Him and to help us to love Him and depend on Him more, God leads us into the wilderness. You know, I went to Japan in 2011, about 6 months after the tsunami, the earthquake and tsunami of 2011. And we were able to go to some of the churches in the area, and we met some of the people who lived there. And one of the men I was talking with, and he was praising God for the tsunami. And I'm like, how can you say that? Like, your house was taken away, your businesses were taken away. We literally saw water lines on buildings that were 3-4 stories tall. And so how can you be thanking God for the tsunami, for the wilderness? And he said, you know what? He became Christian after the tsunami. He said, I wouldn't know Jesus. I wouldn't know Jesus if not for the tsunami. And that blew my mind. And I've been thinking a lot about our season as a church and why maybe we don't have a senior pastor. And I think there's probably a lot of reasons why. Like, there's probably a lot of reasons why evil happens in the world. But I think one of the reasons that we don't have a senior pastor is this. Because God wants to teach us to depend on Him and Him alone. For the past few years, God has let us sit in the wilderness of being pastorless, and it's stripped us of a lot of comforts. There isn't someone that we can look to as like our great leader, right? There isn't someone who will decide for us like direction and vision. And I think that God has revealed our hearts as He stripped away these comforts. I think He's shown us that we rely a lot on our pastor's will rather than we rely on God's will. I think it's shown us that we trust in a pastor to comfort us and to save us and to make us feel secure rather than we trust in God to save us and to make us feel secure and to comfort us. And if you found yourself in these past few years complaining about the lack of a pastor, that's okay. But I also just want to let you know that maybe God is trying to show you something about your heart. He's trying to show you something about what you need, what you depend on, rather than God. Because I just want to let you know, unless Jesus comes back and applies for the job and gets it, no human being is going to be able to solve all of Wintersburg's problems. Like, no human being is going to make us this wonderful and awesome church, right? And so if you're putting your hope in a senior pastor, then you're putting your hope in the wrong place. You see, God has stripped us of our comforts, and maybe in your own lives, He's stripping you of your comforts, not to punish us, not to harm us, not because He's frustrated and angry with us and just wants to hurt us, but because God wants, He loves us, He loves us, and wants us to draw closer to Him. To trust in God and Him alone. To not look to a pastor for leadership. To not look to a pastor for comfort, pastor for comfort and security. But to look to God and to Jesus and to God alone. So I came across this really wonderful quote by a man named Peter Craigie, who he was an Old Testament scholar, and he passed away in the 80s due to a car accident. But something he wrote was this, and I think it's really powerful. He says this: on the one hand, the desolation of the wilderness removed the natural props and supports which man by nature depends on. So he's saying, like, hey, the wilderness removes these things that we depend on. It casts the people back on God, who alone could provide the strength to survive the wilderness. On the other hand, the severity of the wilderness period undermined the shallow basis of confidence of those who are not truly rooted and grounded in God. So basically he says that, hey, if you weren't truly rooted in God, then the wilderness period reveals that. And then this is the quote that I love. It says this: the wilderness makes or breaks a man. It provides strength of will and character. The strength provided by the wilderness, however, was not the strength of self-sufficiency, but the strength that comes from the knowledge of the living God. The wilderness makes or breaks a man. This is what the wilderness does to you. It strips every comfort away. It reveals the deepest and the darkest parts of your heart, not because God wants to punish you, not because God doesn't care, but because God wants us to draw nearer and closer to Him, to make us depend on Him and Him alone. God leads us in the wilderness because He loves us and desires a deeper relationship with Him. And so, brothers and sisters of Wintersburg, if you find yourself in a wilderness season. Pray for healing. Please pray for healing. Pray for blessing. Pray for God to rescue you from the wilderness. But in the meantime, don't forget that God is here. God is here with you in the wilderness. God is drawing nearer and closer to you in the wilderness. And so don't waste your time just trying to escape from the wilderness. Don't just waste your time not recognizing the presence of God here. Instead, meet with God here in the wilderness. Ask him, like, God, like, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? What do you want me to become in the wilderness? God, what are you showing me about my heart? What idols are you revealing to me? What comforts and needs do I depend on rather than depending on you? And God, I want to know you. I want to draw nearer to you. And so, God, how can I grow nearer to you in this time? You see, our God is not the kind of God who stands far away from pain and suffering and chaos. No, our God is the God who enters into the wilderness. You see, we worship Emmanuel, God with us, who has come down into the brokenness and the chaos of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, who did not remain in the heavens, but drew near to sinful and broken people like us. And when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, his heart was revealed as completely pure. Because when he was tempted to provide for himself, when he was tempted to seize power and glory and honor for himself, he trusted that man doesn't live on bread alone, but man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so Jesus, trusting in his Father, went into the deepest, darkest wilderness for us. He suffered death, even death on a cross, to free us from the consequence of sin that we deserve. And he rose again, offering us hope of life beyond the wilderness. And so when seasons come, seasons of pain and suffering and chaos and wilderness come, we pray for God to heal us. We pray for God to save us. But more than this, we meet with God in the wilderness. We let our hearts be revealed. We let our comforts be stripped away, and we learn to depend on God and God alone. We draw near to the God who draws near to us in the wilderness. And so as we enter into this time of communion, let's go ahead and consider, like, God, what are you revealing to me about my heart? And how deeply have you loved me through your Son, Jesus, on the cross? So let's pray. Father, our church, many families here, even our country and our city, we're going through a crazy time, and we don't know what you're doing. We don't presume to know your mind because you're so far and beyond us. But God, we trust that you love us. You deeply, deeply love us, and you want to be with us, and you want us to be nearer to you. And so, God, as we go into this time of the Lord's Supper, and as we continue to meditate and to listen to you, we pray that you would continue to reveal to us, God, what are you trying to say to us? What are you trying to show us about ourselves? God, and how can we draw nearer to you in the wilderness? And so we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.